I'm going to read chapter 3, but then I'm going to back up and do a little scan over chapter 2 because it sets something up. Chapter 3 of Job, verse 1. Not very long chapter, just 26 verses. After this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day, and Job spoke and said, "Let the day perish when I was born, and the night in which I was, it was said, there's a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness, let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it, let a cloud dwell upon it, let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it, let it not be joined unto the days of the year, let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary, let no joyful noise come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their morning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark, let it look for the light and have none, neither let it see the dawning of the day, because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from my eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me, or why the breast that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept, and then had I been at rest. with kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold who filled their houses with silver, or as a hidden untimely birth I had not been, as infants which never saw light. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter soul, which long for death, but it comes not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures, which rejoices exceedingly and are glad when they cannot find the grave, when they can find the grave, excuse me. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God has hedged in? For my sighing comes before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." Now, the question I have to ask is, the first verse asks the question in my mind. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. After what? What previously happened? And I want to just kind of skim through chapter 2 real quickly to bring and set up the case of what he's upset about. Or what I should say, what we're upset about. Because what's this all about? It's about us individually, okay? So in chapter 2, he said, "Again, there came a time when the sons of Elohim came to present themselves before Yahweh, and Satan, the accuser, the adversary, came also in the center of them to present himself to the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From whence comest thou?' And he said, 'From going to and fro, walking up and down the earth.'" See, this Satan that everybody talks about is not some separate entity. He was in the very center of us. Guess what the very center of us is? It's that thinking process again. That natural thinking process was in the center of the sons of God. Now, the only thing that stopped Job from knowing his total ability was he didn't know who he was. He didn't know his identity, did he? He was afraid. He feared things. And see, a perfect love casts out all fear. So when we know God, who is perfect love, guess what we don't have anymore? We have no fear of anything. And all these things is what happens to us in our lives. We think we've been told by religion. We've been told all these things that happen. They've created this big devil with horns and pitchforks and red suits and flannel jammies and a big long pointy tail and all these things that you know, people make jokes about. And it's no wonder comedians make jokes about religion. Because religion is not God. It is hilarious when you really think about it. I sit and hear some of these people like George Carlin. He makes more sense than 90% of the preachers out here. He does, because he uses that brain that God gave him. That man's a smart man. And I think he has God hooked up in him, even if he is have some rough words in him. Still, God's in him, isn't he? See? I'm not a big fan of George Carlin, but I've heard him, and he says some awful godly things. And his wife died, and he wrote one of the most beautiful love letters about his wife and put it on the web you ever saw in your life. And if God wasn't in that love letter, there is no God. And I know better than that. See? He said some wonderful things, but he also understands that religion cripples people. It cripples our minds, it cripples our bodies to where we can't do anything because we're always chasing an elusive something that doesn't exist. We're chasing shadows instead of following after the truth. Does that make sense? Okay? Now, and this mind responded to God, the Father, and says he was walking up and down on the earth. Did he say on the earth? He said he was in the earth. Guess what we're made out of? Earth. See, it was going all over us, just messing us all up. And the Lord said to him, have you considered, or literally the language says this way, the words are in here, have you considered the heart of my servant? He's not talking about his flesh. He said, have you considered the heart of my servant? Because the heart of my servant is holy and righteous and pure. In Ezekiel 28, he said, in the day he was created, he was perfect. He was perfect. In the day that we were created in the image of God, not talking flesh and blood. We're talking in the image of God. We were perfect. We're still perfect. God cannot be defiled. Hello? It's an impossibility. God cannot be defiled. God can't be shocked by anything anybody does. Nothing. You can't shake his foundation. See? And when we realize we are the same foundation, he's the chief cornerstone, and we're part of that foundation. It's going to carry the rest of the world. How can you worry about anything? How can we have fear of anything? He's faithful. He said, I'll take care of you. If I call you, I'm going to equip you. See that? And I'll glorify you. What you got to worry about? Nothing. What's my favorite verse? Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. See? Because God's began to put it together in my mind. I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to worry about dying on an operating table. If I die on an operating table, so what? What? Guess what happens? Yeehaw, I'm home free. See? I'm home free. And that's what Job cried about there in the third verse. We'll get to the third chapter, rather. We'll get there in a second. He says, have you considered him? There's none like him in the earth. There's nobody like him in the earth. That means that mind that wants to tell you, I am God yourself. Uh-uh. There's nobody perfect like him, is there? Nobody like the Son of God, is there? He's perfect. He's upright. He's righteous. He is one that fears God, that honors and respects God, and he avoids evil. See? Eschews, one of them English words, them old English words you'd never understand. If I said you eschew something, what would you think it was? Getting ready to roast it on a stick or something? I mean, skewer? Yes, I mean, see, who knows what that stuff means unless you dig into the language and find out what it means. He wants you to understand that the righteous man avoids that evil. He doesn't run from it. He's not afraid of it, but he just avoids the situation. See, if I know that this top of this burner of the stove is hot, am I going to lay my hand on it to rest? No way. It's not going to happen, is it? I'm going to avoid that fire, aren't I? I'm going to avoid what I know. But as long as I'm in ignorance, I'm liable to put my hand on it and burn it anyway. See, there's where we are. Okay? And he said, and he still holds fast his integrity. The word integrity here should say literally innocence. And he still holds fast his innocence. Although you moved me, talking again to that carnal mind, that Satan in the head, you enticed me to destroy him undeservedly. God said he had no reason to destroy him. I had no reason to destroy Job. Job hasn't done anything wrong. He's exactly the way I made him. He's doing exactly what I want him to do. And see, the church world, all they want to do is destroy somebody. I talked with some people this week, and they couldn't believe the things that I was saying, but they couldn't speak. They just sat and listened. And when I got done, I said, anybody that believes in hell believes that they are superior to someone else, and there's somebody that they hate bad enough that they want to burn them in hell. That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. See? Now, if my Father is love, and I'm supposed to be like my Father won't tell me to love everybody and then him burn and torture people, will he? See, I just don't work, does it? It just don't work. So we got to understand, we got to watch, and here's the thing, mixture. We got some truth, and we got some of that religion hanging on us. And we all are in different stages of that, see? And we got to realize, we've got to get in this word, study to show ourselves approved, workmen that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing, or literally accurately handling the word of God. If I get a hold of this word right, I'm going to get rid of my religion. And Paul said in Acts 27, 19 or 20, he says, on the third day, you lighten the ship with your own hands. You got to pick up things that don't belong to God and trash them. I don't care how well you like them. Don't make any difference. They got to go. See, there's things I loved about church when I first started. But you know what? All it did was give me goosebumps. And see, I can't serve my flesh and God. It's got to be God. So I had to say, okay, there's nothing wrong with it, but it won't fulfill me. See, if I go to the Pentecostal realm, which is where I was at the time in a season, that Pentecostal season prepared me for where I'm at today. It's just like building a house. You don't go out there and just start nailing a roof up, do you? You got to lay a foundation, don't you? Then you got to put some block walls, good strong walls up there, so it can hold them trusses when you stick them up on top where you can nail the roof to it. It's the same thing that God's going to do in our life. All of those things prepared you to go on through to the next process. Okay? Everything I experience today prepares me for what? Whatever happens to me today prepares me for what? The next day. And the next day. And the next day. But today is the preparation day. Didn't he say today is the day of salvation, or literally deliverance? See, when I get delivered today, that makes me more receptive to more truth when? For the next day. And see, until I receive the truth that's given to me, I can't step forward. Line upon line, precept on precept. Here a little and there a little. See? That's the way it is. See, that's where he says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If that isn't fit God's word, if I don't know God's word, how am I going to do that to start with? See? I got to know the word. See? And David said in Psalm 119, 187 times in one chapter, let everything be done according to thy word. See? If I don't know that word as my foundation, then I will follow anything and everything. You know what they say? If you don't believe something, you'll fall for everything. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. That's the way it goes. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. And if I don't find the truth and attach to this truth, then I'm going to go with every wind of doctrine that comes along. You know, just go everywhere. And eventually I'm going to run out of gas because my natural strength's not going to make it. See, I'm going to fall out somewhere. And that's why so many people fall out of church. See, the God in them is speaking to these people. And I'm serious. There's people who go to all these different churches. God's speaking to them. And they hear God speak to them, and the preacher says, no, that's not the way we do it here. John 10 says, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of another they will not follow. See, you got to know his voice. You got to have some time with him, some intimate time with him, so whenever that voice comes other than his, you won't confuse it with his voice. So when you hear that voice, you say, no way. Jack, I know that ain't God. That ain't my Father telling me that thing. I know his nature and character. My Father wouldn't lie. He wouldn't cheat. He wouldn't deceive anybody. He wouldn't hurt anybody. See? That's not my Father. That's somebody's opinion of my Father. And that's their view, and it's a sick view of my Father. My God is love. I got a friend that goes over to McDonald's every morning, and he's 70-some years old. I've been talking to him now for over a year. He wouldn't go to church. He's got all these religious relatives. He wouldn't go to church. He said, man, they just make me sick when I go there. And I've been sharing with him about reconciliation. And he just sat there and big tears run down his face. And some of them people over there, when we get in a little heated discussion, sometimes they'll get upset with me. I don't get upset. They get upset at talking about reconciliation. And they'll say, you need to go to church or else you're going to go to hell. And he said, you don't know God. My God's love. He tells them right to their face now. He said, my God's love. My God's going to take me with him. When he goes, wherever I go, I'm going with him. I mean, this is a man that don't go to church. He's been set free. He don't have to go into a building to hear that. I've never said, why don't you come to church? You need to come to church. God will bring him where he needs to be, won't he? See? They belong to him. They don't belong to me. That's the wonderful part about God. He doesn't manipulate you. He doesn't make you do something. He loves you into doing something. Like we talked earlier about relationship with man and wife. It's no longer a labor to do something for my wife. I bought my wife a ring here recently, back a month or so ago. And went and looked at it, and she's always wanted this three diamond ring. We looked at it, and it was too small. In my opinion, if you're going to buy a ring, it was too small. And I don't believe in a lot of vanity things, but it was too small. And I said, don't get them. They ain't got one big enough in here for that. Get a solitaire, bigger diamond. And I told a friend of mine, and he got on me, he said, you've lost your mind. I said, no. See, at one time in my life, I wouldn't have spent a nickel on her for that, for a diamond ring. I thought that was total waste because it didn't satisfy my needs.
Didn't fill your tackle box.
Didn't fill my tackle box up. See? But then I found out spending that kind of money on that ring right there gave me more gratification because I loved her. See? I've learned to love her over the years. So now it is as much gratification for me to spend money on her, in fact, more than it does me now, spend on myself. See, because God has changed my heart. That's what we got to see, what this is all about. We can't condemn someone and get any fruit out of that that's good. It's going to be bitter fruit. We've got to love them into the kingdom. We got to love them, accept them wherever that, not try to change them. See, we're not supposed to change nobody. We're supposed to tell them the truth and love them in the process. And you know what? You'll see the whole world follow him. When Jesus come telling the truth, the religious folks stood back and doubted, didn't they? But what did all the masses do? They thronged after him because they saw something in him. They couldn't identify it, but they knew it was right. See, they had no abilities. They didn't all have the ability of reading and writing. They didn't understand all the words he said, did they? But they could feel that spirit in them, that kindred spirit. It was there. The nature of God was there. They knew it without some priest telling them. They knew it. And that's what God's trying to portray to us. We don't need somebody to tell us what to do. There's only one Lord and Master. And he's the Lord and Master of all. See? No preacher is the Lord and Master. Every one of them, if we are in his image, he says he came not to be served, but to be a servant. I am not you're here for you to serve me. I'm here to serve you. You hear what I'm saying? Okay. We still ain't got through two yet. We're going to three. I can't help it. I'm ready to go this morning. It's been a couple weeks since I got to speak. I'm live wire today. Okay. Verse 5. I left off, wasn't it? Now, verse 4. And Satan, I ain't anywhere yet. Yes, I have, but just haven't got very many verses. And the Satan responded to the Lord and said, skin for skin, all that a man has will he give for his, not just life, soulish life. See, because my life, I don't have to purchase. It has already been paid for, has it not? See, but see, that thing in your head, that Satan, that accuser, the adversary, the false accuser, will always twist the words, just like he twisted it with Adam and Eve in the garden. When he told Eve, if you eat of this tree, you'll be what? You'll be like God. Well, the lie was, you was already like God. So what he was saying, you ain't sons of God. And you believed it. You know how many people today don't believe they're sons of God because the church world told them they're not? About 98% of them or more. Because the church has told them they're not sons of God. If you tell them they're sons of God and they realize it, guess what they might act like? Oh, heaven forbid they'd act like sons of God. Well, wouldn't that bring a curse on the earth? It needs it. It needs it. Oh, my. Anyway, verse 5, he said, but put forth your hand now and touch. The word touch is not touch. It's literally punish or destroy his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. It doesn't say touch him. It says destroy his bone and flesh. If you destroy his flesh, you know how many people's in love with your flesh? Most all. Biggest majority, huh? They're in love with their flesh. They're trying to make this flesh pretty. They're trying to make it fluffed and buffed and make it look good on the outside, but the inside's full of all kinds of corruption, isn't it? And God says, you know, flesh and blood's not going to enter the kingdom of God. Come on, we've got to get beyond this. This is about our spirits. You can destroy the flesh if you want to, but you can't. You can destroy his soulish life, but you can't touch his life. You know why? God can't die. Guess whose life is in me? Guess whose life's in you? It's the Spirit of God, and God can't die. He said, I'm alive forevermore. See? But you got to know it. See? If you continue in my word, you will be to my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will what? But you got to know it first. If you got to know it, if you know it, you'll get free. If you don't know it, you won't. You got to know this word. Okay? And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he's in your hand, but spare his soul or soulish life. Spare his soulish life. Don't take his life. He said, I don't even want you to, you can't even kill his soulish life. Okay? So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, of the Father, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, his entirety. Doesn't that sound like a curse upon the earth? Sound like Adam? Guess what Job means? Remember what Job means? Hated and persecuted. Sounds like the Christ to me, doesn't it? It's the Christ. He was hated and persecuted. He came to his own, and they knew him not. But they hung him on a tree, didn't they? They didn't even know their own Creator. Oh, my goodness. Okay. And he took him a piece of pottery and scraped himself with it. And he sat down among the ashes, which, speaking of humility, he sat down in humility. He was just a mess. Well, you know what Job really came to a realization of? He can't do it on his own. Look at the mess I'm in. I didn't do anything. This is the way God created it. And when you come to that understanding, hey, I didn't create the way that my spine is, that I have to have all these multiple surgeries. Neither did Lloyd. Did you do your heart? See? I mean, see, we don't do this. It's something God expects us to go through with the right attitude. It's a privilege to go through the experience. It's not about the journey, it's about the destination. When I realize everybody's got problems in this world, does anybody know anybody that's got no problems? I don't know anybody like that, do you? If you do, let me know who they are. Let me get real close to that person, you know what I mean? Shame on you, brother. I understand that. There are a lot of them got opinions like that. Okay. And then said his wife to him. Now, if you think that was really talking about the woman he was married to, you're kidding yourself. We're talking about his soul, okay? And then his female said to him, do you still retain your innocence? Curse God and die. Literally what it's saying, I've had a lot of people come to me in the problems I've had in my physical health and said, what sin are you in, brother? I'm talking about preachers and people like that, you know. And they think because you have some physical ailment that you must be in some kind of sin. That is a very narrow-minded person, because there's no thing uncommon to man, is there? We all got it. It's called flesh, and flesh is liable to erupt in any way possible. See, it's not about this flesh, but it's about the understanding of my spirit within me, the power, the real source in our lives. Okay? But he said to her, "You speak as one of those foolish or stupid women that speaks." And then the word "what." Do you see that question mark after it? That question mark isn't there. That's not a question. He's making a statement. What? Should be an exclamation point. He said, "What? Shall we receive good from the hand of God and not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his what? Feet, hands, ears. What did he not sin with? With his mouth. See? Out of the abundance of heart, the mouth speaks. All evil comes from the heart, but it comes out of the what? Mouth. So everything comes back to this one thing again, this thing right between her ears. That's where it comes from, isn't it? And he did not sin with his lips because he took every thought captive in his heart, in his thinking process. So when you take these thought processes, you think when I suffer in pain and the things that happen in my life that I don't have the same thought processes that you do? Do you think that I walk above you and in some place that I'm more superior to you because God is speaking through me? I have no exemptions. There's no free pass to get out of jail card free or nothing like that. I mean, I got to walk through the same things. I get no free passes. But see, what I got to do is this. If God opens my mind to see this thing, when that enemy comes and talks to me, you know what I say to him? Take a hike. Take on out of here. I ain't listening to you. Because that ain't my father. My father don't talk like that. See? My father don't talk like that to me. See? No. He's not by his authority that you're here talking to me, so take a hike. I know the difference. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this evil was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite. Eliphaz, the word means, "My God is gold." Wealth, riches. And he came from Temanite, which means the south or comfort. He was an Edomite. He was a natural person, a natural man. And a natural man is in love with what? Gold, wealth, riches. Bildad means confused love, confused by mingling. Doesn't that sound like the church world? Man who gets a little bit of religion along with his natural man, he's got this natural love picture, and he figures, if you love me, then I can love you. That's confused love. Love has no bounds, does it? And he was a Shuhite, and a Shuhite, again, speaks of wealth. Zophar was the third one, and the word Zophar means to depart early. So he ain't going to hang around and give you no help either, okay? He's just going to be around for a season to holler at you. And he was a Naamathite. And Naamathite is also one that speaks of pleasure, seeking pleasure, pleasurefulness, you know, that kind of stuff. Because they had made an agreement together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. Now here's the kicker. And when they lift up their eyes afar off, they knew him not. You know what made the problem here? He had went through a process of change that they had not went through. Is that true? He went through a whole lot of hell that they didn't know about. They heard about it, see? But they weren't there. They didn't go through what he went through, did they? They never had the experience. They just heard it off their eardrums. And that's where most of church world is. They hear it on their ears, but they never get the experience. Okay? And they knew him not. He was an alien, and they knew him not. Didn't Paul say we're aliens and sojourners in the land? Here's why we don't know anybody, why we don't know anybody after the Spirit of God, because they don't look like we do. See? And that's why when you find someone of the same spirit, immediately you know who they are, because they don't look like everybody else. They don't talk like everybody else, because they love unconditionally. You just love because that's your nature. See? Huh? You're drawn to them. It's like bugs to a light. You know, you just got to go. Okay? And they knew him not, and they lifted up their voices and wept, and they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward the heavens or the sky. You know what? Everybody feels sorry for him. Oh, they feel sorry for you because You're not like we are. See, because they feel security in their numbers, in their masses. But see, my security is not in masses. It's in oneness with God. See? Everything is in the faith of Christ. See? I'm not concerned about anything but Christ. It's it. And when you realize that oneness with Him, what have you got to worry about? Absolutely nothing. See? I don't have to worry about what's going to happen. Do I have to worry about having a car wreck? No. I don't have to worry about nothing. I mean, you're free. And you know what that does to people? It intimidates them. It intimidates them. It scares them because you're not like they are. Look at the world today. If you are dark skin and dark eyes and have that Indian Eastern look of Pakistani, you know, all that Iraqi over and everything, people are scared to death of them, aren't they? Okay. They're judging them. There's some good people there, just as many good ones as there are over here. See? It's wrong. It's wrong to judge from sight. Okay. We judge by the faith of Christ, okay. By the Spirit. What do you say? We walk by faith and not by sight? Huh? Walk by faith, not by sight. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spoke a word to him, because they saw that his suffering was greatly magnified. Well, with friends like this, you could magnify your grief greatly. I see, that's just two getting ready to set up three. And because of this, Job opened his mouth. Because of all these things I've spoke about, now he's opening his mouth to speak. And he said, he cursed his day. And Job said, let the day perish when I was born, and the night in which it was said there was man-child conceived. Let the day be darkness, or let it be in ignorance. Let not God regard it. Let not God regard it. It should be the one true God. Let not the one true God regard the day from above, or from the spirit realm. Neither let the light of that Christ shine upon it. He's saying, it would have been a whole lot better have I had been a miscarriage, because the spirit has nothing to do with that flesh that miscarried. You hear what I'm saying? So many people are concerned about a miscarriage that baby will go to hell because it never was baptized. Never took communion either. I've heard things just stupider than that. That's just the surface of it. But they say things just like that. So he said it would be a whole lot better to just go ahead and die than go through the suffering that he was going through. Now, he's just getting the suffering started. And see, there's where we get caught. When some hard thing comes against us, immediately when we overcome the first obstacle, we say, "Whew! I've made her now. I have arrived. I'm a son of God." Well, Jesus was a son of God, wasn't he? How long did he struggle until they put him in the tomb? You think you're going to be any different? People loved him so much they hung him on a tree. They're going to love you the same way. How long do you think you're going to suffer? Didn't he also say this? Through much tribulation shall we enter into the kingdom of God in Acts 14:22. Through much tribulation we enter the kingdom. See, we're going to, and Jesus said this, he that endures until the end. See, he that endures till the end, the same shall be delivered. It's going to be a process through your entire life. And just because you're still walking doesn't mean you can't come to the fullness of it. You can come to the fullness of it, but there's a purpose for your life. And that purpose is to fulfill whatever God wants you to do as an individual. It's not up to me to tell you what God, because I don't know what God's got for anybody. All I know is what he tells me for me. See, it's not my place to tell anybody what to do. I'm just supposed to show you by example what God's got for my life. And then you and God got to work out what's right for you. Make sense? That's the way it's working. Okay. So Job is complaining. He's saying, look, it'd been a whole lot better if this didn't even happen. I just better pass right on through. And he goes all the way through complaining, all the way down to verse 13. So the first 12 verses, I'm not even going to bother to read and go through them again. Well, maybe I'll scan through them real quickly. I think I went down to four, so five. Let the ignorance and the shadow, right? And the shadow be what? Well, actually, the shadow of it should be the grave. Let death and the grave and a cloud dwell upon it, or remain on it, and let the cloud of the day overshadow it, is what it should say. Living Bible says, let it overshadow it. Let the blackness of the clouds of the day overshadow it. So he said, it's better not to even see anything, not to have any light at all, than to walk through the suffering that we got to walk through. His eyes have been opened now, haven't they? Job's eyes have been opened. He's seeing something now. He's realizing that he's got a long journey. And that first thing about all of his kids dying and losing all of his physical wealth, and then his whole flesh, he's seeing the worthlessness of his flesh, he's saying, my God, this is pretty bad. Said, hey, take me home. And that's one thing that always amazed me about church folk. Because I heard them stand around since I was a little kid, because I had a grandpa who was a Pentecostal preacher, apostolic Pentecostal preacher, bishop over the whole state of Kentucky. And I mean, I was drug up through some hollers nobody should have been drug into. I saw things nobody should have seen. But all these people kept saying, oh, I can't wait to go to heaven. But every one of them would have paid every cent they could have got a hold of to draw one more breath. They're afraid to leave. So something tells me they weren't quite, they were still kind of double-minded. You know, they were doing what someone told them versus knowing and experiencing God to where you're no longer fearful of God. See, because if God would show up in most churches, the building would look like a screen door. There'd be holes through the walls where people run out of it. Because they'd swear he was a devil because he doesn't meet the nature and character of what the church has told him he is. If God showed up here, I just think we'd just all jump on his lap and say, hi, Daddy. You know what I mean? I'm not afraid of God. Why should I be afraid of love? Come on. We don't understand what love is. It's the wrong nature to have fear from God. He doesn't want us to fear. That's King James language. It's reverence and honor to God. My father, is Solomon afraid of you? Is your kids afraid of you? See? They come to you. They got a problem, they come to you. That's the way God wants us to be. Come to him, we got a problem. Don't seek some psychiatrist. Don't go seek some other human being. Go to your father with this problem. Yeah, he uses people, I understand that. But you take your Mercedes to a Mercedes dealer to get it worked on, not a Chevrolet dealership. Not a Volkswagen dealership, do you? Take it back to the original manufacturer. So I got to take me back to my original manufacturer, don't I? Back to my genesis. Back to my beginning. Okay. We're to leave off there again. Starting in 6. As for that night, let the darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined to the days of the year. Let it not come to the number of the days. Let that night be solitary. Let no joyful noise come. Voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day. Who cursing Christ, aren't they? He's the day. Who are ready to awaken their morning. Okay? You know what? What is Job doing right here? Verse 1 through 13. He's having a pity party. Wah! Wah! That's not uncommon for us, is it? It's so easy for us to get into that rut. It's our natural instincts, see? And it's that quick we're walking spiritual, and this is the thing I don't understand, and people don't catch themselves at it. They need to look in the mirror. As fast as you can blink an eye, you have been worshiping God, and the next moment you're as carnal as dirt. Okay? And if we can't see it in ourselves, don't be pointing at nobody else. We best be looking at ourselves because we can all be guilty of this thing. See, we've got to be able to see ourselves, look in that mirror and see clearly, not darkly, clearly. See what we are. That's it. It's very hard. It's not an easy thing. This ain't nothing easy to do. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not telling you anything easy about it. I've got something here I marked and I can't bring it apart to where I want it to be in my mind. Okay, I got it. I got it. That's cute. Verse 8, you got to do it again. Let them curse it that curse the day who are ready to raise up their, or awaken their what? What's the word right there? Morning? You know what the Hebrew says there? Leviathan, the serpent. They're ready to awaken their serpent. He said, let the ones who are ready to wake up the serpent in them, not the Christ, but the serpent in them, let them curse the day. Let them go ahead and do it. See, there are some vessels made for honor and some for dishonor in the same household. Hello. I can't help it if my mom or my dad or my brother or my sister or anybody else or my children, if God made the vessels, it's not me. And they're made for a purpose. And we have to have the negative as much as we have to have the positive. You've got to balance this thing out. You've got to complete the loop. See, it's not up to me to make that choice. We all want the best for our children and our family, don't we? It's not our call. God makes the call. We have to accept what God does. And then we'll be fine. See? What does he say in the New Testament? Yea and amen. It's the only answer he's got. The Old Testament, you can say yea or nay under the law, but then the law is fulfilled. Now it's Christ, it's grace, it's mercy, and now it's everything is yes, Father, what do you want? Whatever you want, that's what I want. See? It's no longer a labor, but a labor of love. Okay. So if we were in what verse? 9 now. Let the stars, or the sons of God, of the twilight thereof be dark. He said, I don't want to see those manifested sons of God. You know why? Because they'll put light on me. And that's going to be painful. Because light's going to be hot on you sometimes. You know what I mean? It's going to be painful. Let it look for the light. Okay, that's the Christ. But have none. Let it see the dawning of the day. What is the dawning of the day? The day star rising in our hearts. He said, I don't want to see that. See, he said, I know, I already know right now it's going to be pure hell to walk the walk that Jesus walked. Does anybody doubt that? Well, that's the walk we got to walk. And you know what? It ain't going to be no surprise. Was Jesus surprised about anything? How many times they tried to kill him before they got him on the tree? And how many times he said, it's not yet my time. It's not time yet, because Father is directing his Son. And the sons are going to walk that course, even though when he got in the garden, he said, Father, if it's possible, nevertheless, whatever you want, that's what I'm going to do. That's got to be us. That's got to be our walk. And say, no matter what it comes down to, whatever you want, that's what I want. See? Not what I want, what you want. That's what I want. It's not my will any longer. It's his will. Okay? It's not Yahweh. It's not his. It's not your way. It's Yahweh. Right? That's what it should say. Okay. Because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? That's a question, huh? Why didn't I just die? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? He didn't know what his purpose was, did he? He had no identity yet. Why did the knees receive me? You know how the, when they were birthed years ago, they would kneel down and, you know, a lot of times they would have another woman receive the baby on the knees of another woman, you know. Why did the knees receive me when the baby popped out of the womb? Because they did it like kneeling down, you know, squatting down. Why did the knees receive me? Or why did the breast that I should nurse? Because now could I have lain still and been quiet. I could have died, and then I would have been at rest. Hello. Y'all think you're the only ones that think life is hell? See, this is the natural process. This is the way we understand it. And if we understand it, it's not a surprise. Guess what? If I'm walking down the street right now, and I walk up to the corner of this building, and I walk around, and somebody just pops me right in the face, what you going to do to me? Probably going to knock me plumb out, just turn my lights out. But if I'm walking down this street and God says to me, there's a big mirror right here so I can see around that corner, just like God telling you. There's a guy standing around this corner getting ready to pop you in the nose as soon as you walk around the corner. All you got to do is avoid that thing, you know, just walk a little bit around it. Hello, how you doing? He can't surprise me, can he? And if he takes a shot at me, he's not going to hurt me unless God wants him to, is he? So God will take care of the whole thing. So why am I worried? See what I'm saying? You got to have confidence that God's in control of this thing. I mean, look at the universe. He spoke it and it is. And you think there's anything out of control? Church world preaching, the world's out of control. It's going to hell in a handbag. No, it ain't. You got to get the hell out of church is what you ought to do. You can take that a couple ways. See, the hell in the church. We're the church. And the hell's in us. And we need to get the hell out of us, don't we? Absolutely lighten the ship. We could call this one, get the hell out of the church, couldn't we? That'll offend some religious folk. That's all right. If they're offended, they need it, I guess. Okay, verse 14. With kings and counselors of the earth, he's saying, I could have been laying with the kings and the counselors of the earth, which built tombs for themselves. He said, I could have been laid with the elite of the world. I could already be at rest, finished my journey. He wasn't talking about God's people, was he? He said, I could have been laid with the kings of the earth, not the kings of the spirit. He said, I could have been famous. I could be laying with the famous people. Or with princes that had gold, the nature of God, or filled their houses themselves with redemption, the silver. Or as hidden untimely birth, I had not seen as infants which never saw light. Imagine that. That never saw light. As a baby conceived in the womb, that baby hasn't seen light yet in the natural, has it? But you know what? Here's the thing that most people never understand. Right now, Michelle's carrying a little baby inside of her. And that baby has never seen the light of day, has it? But you know what? It has already seen the light. Because the light is in that baby. That's where it came from. See? That light has already been turned on in that baby spiritually. And he's complaining now from his flesh. Not from his spirit. He's complaining and having his pity party from his flesh. So it's not uncommon for people to have pity parties, is it? But by the time we finish this book of Job, you're going to find out Job has matured. And by the end of this book, guess what we should have done? We should be maturing also. I didn't say arriving, I said maturing. See? It's not over just because you read through one book. It's a process to the end. Just keep it up. And when God is done with you, you'll be the first one to know it because he's going to wear you slap out. That's what they say down south. They say wear you slap out. That means you're done. You're finished. See? It'll happen. When he's ready, he'll let you know. You are not going to beg him to get you any quicker, take you away or bring you back or anything. Verse 17 said, there the wicked, that's the carnal mind, ceases from what? Troubling. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. When you realize this carnal mind gets into the grave, when you realize it's a done deal, when he died, you died with him. When he was resurrected, you raised with him. Guess what? He was the last Adam. That thing's already dead. And when you realize that, guess what? You're a new creation in Christ. You're already free, but you don't know that, see? But there the wicked ceases from the troubling and the frustrations. And there the weary, or literally the weary chameleon, is what the word says. Hear that now? The language says the weary chameleon. You know what a chameleon is? It changes colors with whatever the situation is around it. So if it's in rocky, dark soil, it's going to be dark. And if it gets in some light sand, something, it's going to turn a different color. If it crawls over on something green, it's going to turn green. It sounds kind of hypocritical, don't it? Sounds like a thermometer instead of a thermostat. Instead of controlling the temperature, they're changing the temperature with them, with whoever's around. He said, where the wicked chameleon be at rest. He's saying, in the grave, that wicked chameleon, that hypocrisy, that carnal mind, what power has it got? See? Well, when you realize it's already dead, guess what? You just kicked dirt in its face. Did you? Huh? It has no more power. You just took the teeth out of the lion, didn't you? You defanged the snake. It's all over. What can it do to you, Mike? Absolutely nothing. You know why I walk around happy all the time? Just for that reason. I know I have already won the race. Because I'm not running again in my authority or my power. This is because of His power and authority. See what I mean? It's easy once you let Him take control. But you got to let Him take control. Okay? There the prisoners rest together. Didn't Solomon say, don't all go to one place? Everybody in the church world, in the natural world, try to separate the good and the bad, and some's going to heaven, some's going to hell, some even going to some place called purgatory they made up. Yeah, come on. The book says they're all going to one place. I believe the book. Okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. There they hear not the voice of the oppressor. Oh, my goodness. You can't hear the carnal mind there. So now you're no longer double-minded. What are you? You have the mind of Christ. What's bad about that? Nothing. Job sees that, but yet he hasn't went through his process yet. But he's wanting a shortcut. And the path of least resistance makes rivers and men crooked. Thank you very much. The small and the greater there, the servant is free from his master. He's talking about the flesh. Why is light given to him that is in misery and life to the bitter soul? It's not. What he's telling you here, we got to have an attitude adjustment. You can't be bitter and in ignorance and darkness and receive light. You've got to change your attitude to receive and understand this is God. God's in the clouds. He was in the dark clouds all through the Scriptures, wasn't He? He was in all the storms, wasn't He? He was in everything. And we got to realize He's in everything in our lives. Positive, negative, makes no difference. God's still behind it all. There's a reason for it. It'll change you. The positive won't change you like the negative will. The negative will get your attention, I'm going to tell you. Okay? Which long for death, that's that bitter soul, which long for death, but it comes not, and they seek for it more than for hid treasures, which rejoice until the age exceedingly, and are glad when they can find the grave. They're glad that they died. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God has not fenced in? If God didn't do it, so what's the purpose of giving the light to him? There is none. Because my sighing comes before I eat, right? Or before my food, and my roarings or my cries of distress are poured out like waters. Because the thing which I greatly fear, not feareth, but fear, is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come to me. I was not at ease, verse 26, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. And that word trouble is restlessness, agitation, raging, turmoil, and trembling. And what should we be? Okay, what should we be? Anxious for nothing. Love you guys. You hear what I'm saying? We've got to come through this, and we've got to change our attitude about being anxious. We've got to change this thing about being upset about our lives. Did we start our lives? Romans 8 says, the whole creation was subjected to vanity not willingly. We didn't start this thing, and we're not going to finish it. God sets it up, and God's going to finish it. He's the author and the finisher, isn't He? So why don't we rest in this thing? And didn't He say, my peace I leave unto you, my rest I give unto you? Come on. Why are we anxious about everything? We don't really believe who we are. That's not condemnation. It's revelation. It's revealing to you who you are. And when you reveal to someone who they are, you'll see their nature change. You won't change them by condemning them. You change them by showing them who they really are. And that's what God's doing here. And God's using Job's life to change our lives. Didn't Paul write in his writings? He said, everything that happened to them in the Old Testament was written for our learning and instruction. Hello? See? It's for us. This man's life, whether it's a parable or whether it was truly a man by the name of Job who walked this out, if it was, he suffered through pure hell that we can understand the hell that's in front of us. It's present with us this day. I said a front in front of us. I'm talking about in front that way. It's in front of us we're going to see yet in our life. So it's put here so we can understand. Like I said about the man standing around the corner getting ready to hit you. If you know the man standing around the corner, all you have to do is just walk out a little wider and say, "How you doing? Have a nice day." He can't get me. Yeah. Because if he was a coward in the first place, he was going to hit me by surprise. I walk out around that guy and go on. And didn't he say that Job was a righteous man who avoided evil? Just avoid it. You pick up a snake and pet it. I wouldn't be surprised if I got bit, would I? Right? His nature is to bite. You play with a snake, it'll bite you. Hear me? I love y'all.